We've asked Professor Susan Boyston, she's a political analyst and the author of Precarious Power, to take us through the significance of the CR17 matter. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you. And you?
What a week, hey? What a week it's been in terms of, I mean, if we didn't have enough news with Popia and with Level 4 and Delta, well, I think our judiciary stole the show.
Yes, indeed. The politics have been at a high level, and also things coming to a point in the sense that the Constitutional Court, with its ultimate authority, and say over South African politics, coming into play on two very, very crucial cases that involved two core players in South African politics, the president and the former president of the ANC and South Africa.
It was, because both of these cases represented one or the other of the so-called ANC factions. Both were linked by Busisiwe Mkhwebane, and it was the Constitutional Court that dominated it.
Yes, and for me it's fascinating that we couldn't take it for granted what either of these cases would we point at which either of one would end up. Yesterday's perhaps was a little more certain because the full bench of the High Court, Gauteng, had previously pronounced on it. So there was sort of an inclination to think that is the way things are going to go.
Right.
But either one could still have gone the other way. Like, in either one did have a minority judgment. I do not use minority judgments like some political players.
Right, of course.
Delegitimize the big majority outcome. That is the way the legal system works when human beings apply their minds. But either one could have gone the other way. And if it had, our politics today would have looked somewhat different from what it actually is.
In fact, it was so interesting because we had an expert on our show the morning of the Jacob Zuma finding, and he was absolutely convinced, as was I, as were all of our listeners, that the sentence was going to be a suspended one. Did you think it was going to go that way? Were you shocked by the 15-month jail term?
You know, in a way, but not, I must I'll be honest, not altogether. It is certainly, if one is justified, if one takes the scope of what former President Zuma had been doing. Not only did he challenge the Constitutional Court ruling directly that he has to appear at and cooperate with on the Commission of Inquiry, but he was out there in the social media and general political space in a big way, attempting to delegitimize the Constitutional Court. The Constitutional Court, of course, no, holy, sacred kind of institution, but it is the apex court, and South Africa is the constitutional state. In other words, you really try to affect and malign the highest pillars of our political order. And that is not something that is to be taken lightly. In slightly different types of acts, that would almost be seen as treason. And he did that deliberately, not for any, as far as I'm concerned, legitimate reasons, but to protect his personal interests. And we have all seen how, over multiple years, he's been using what we now know as Stalingrad strategy, postpone, proclaim to want to stay in court, but really postpone any justice being done when he gets to stay in court, or the option of getting it. He really postponed that and prolonged that and used frivolous reasons in many instances to challenge, to delay their court proceedings. So he was playing a very, very duplicitous game. And I think the Constitutional Court in that Zuma ruling was incredibly courageous. Not only does it go with a majority opinion, but it denounced its words. It made clear that it sees this broader context, that it's not a Constitutional Court that's narrowly defined to just the letter of the exact legal argument that's put in front of it, but he's prepared to see those legal arguments in the context in which they actually pervade society out there. So I thought it was a very courageous and appropriate one.
Do you think that it was a coincidence that both of these cases were ruled upon in the same week?
You know, I'm really not sure about the answer.
I just find it so interesting that
it is fascinating. You know, but I cannot imagine that the last one could not. Yesterday, I'm concerning Cyril Ramaphosa and CR17 funding. I cannot imagine that would have not been possible before and earlier, because it is. I think the judges were pretty clear in their final positions on this, and there was a dissenting or a minority voice in there, and that was former Chief Justice Nguyen Nguyen, who has been for a few months now in early retirement, along on special leave, which actually amounts to early retirement, and so his opinion would have been there long before. So I think it would definitely be possible to bring this one earlier.
Interesting.
But perhaps they calculated that given the high political impact and that it was wise to bring two cases involving two very high profile persons at roughly the same time. Of course, we know these are voluminous judgments, and it does take meticulous writing up. The judges, when they do this, Constitutional Court, when they do it, is very aware that they are creating law in the process. And so I think they do have it checked many times over. So one cannot definitely say, yes, it was political tactics, but it certainly...
It could well be.
Ramaphosa very well.
You know, fascinating. The other interesting thing to me is the role of Busisiwe Mkhwebane in all of this. She can't think that she is doing herself, from a political perspective, any good at the moment, unless she is really living in a complete vacuum. What is going on with Busisiwe Mkhwebane?
That is such a vexed question. You know, yesterday's judgments were almost, in broad content, not in specific words and specific context, but in broad thrust, it was so similar to previous Constitutional Court rulings on her. We know there was that other big case of Absa and the Reserve Bank a while ago, and the trends are so similar. That one was in July 2019, when the ruling, the judgment, talked about bad faith, misrepresentation. I think there were factual mistakes, and other cases there. And then there was that three-person committee that Parliament appointed to make sure this procedurally correct on whether to take those steps to remove her from office or not. Similar words coming out there, and yesterday too. So politically, she is so aligned to one camp in the ANC, in contemporary South African politics, that there is no future for her beyond that. And I think she has just been sticking to her guns and going with that political thrust. Because in yesterday's view, the Judge Dafta referred extensively, or in quite a few paragraphs, her misinterpreting the law, making facts, bringing irrelevant facts into the equation, extending the scope of her, what would be legal and legitimate for her to inquire, to serve some, we presume, political purposes. She doesn't use the word political purposes. But really manipulating the truth and steering investigations beyond any legally acceptable and clearly defined boundaries to try to make a case against President Ramaphosa. And the Justice and the Constitutional Court ruling generally was scathing about that, and it's not as if we have not heard that before.
And I was just going to say, how much more do we need to hear before, I mean, there's no dignity left, but before she actually takes whatever is left and leaves or is removed?
Given that she has withstood for some mysterious reason and a great personal damage, withstood so much of the pressures and the adverse rulings against her so far, I almost think she's going to try to sit it out the parliamentary committee eventually. Gets to the point of removing her from office, if that ever happens. Sorry, if that ever happens before her term ends.
Maybe, and we do need to leave it here, but maybe a thought is that as long as she's in the position, nobody else is in the position. And maybe her job right now, by whomever she reports to, is just stay where you are, hold on for dear life, because even if you're not doing any act of good for us because we've seen through it, you've been seen through, maybe you just are doing something by not allowing somebody else to be there.
I think that is an excellent observation. It could very, very well be the case. Because, and I just hope whoever her political handlers are will be looking at her after her two offices.
I hope so too. Well, actually, I'm not even sure, really. I say I hope so, but I'm not sure that I really do. Professor Susan Boyce, a political analyst and author of Precarious Power.